The audacity of this pitch.
The audacity of this pitch has been brought to you by Diversify IT.
All right, so like I said, I'm Brennan Johnson. Chris Derrickson is sitting across from me on his own Zoom room laptop. Welcome to Audacity of This Pitch, Valerie and Yasmin. So, first and foremost, this is kind of a hybrid experience in that we are going to be talking about music and motherhood, the connections that you have to music via, you know, the introduction and the memories that you have with your own mothers, but your mothers yourselves being part of Moms at Duke. So which one of you wants to tell me, you know, about Moms at Duke, what you do, what you're about, you know, and just give us a rundown. Sell me. I want to be a mom at Duke.
I'll go first. I actually, my journey at Duke started about 6.5 years ago. And I was 7 months pregnant when I got my offer letter. It was my first child, and I actually called HR and I said, "Are you sure y'all want to hire me? I'm about to leave for an extended period of time." And HR convinced me. They said, "You know, you have an amazing hiring manager. We are fully aware of your circumstances, and we still would rather have you know that you're going to leave for a bit and come back." And so just the way that they handled that situation made me feel like, okay, this is a place that I'd like to work. You know, when we first started, it was pre-COVID, but there was a lot of flexible work-life balance being offered. And the, you know, there was really just a focus on your family's first, but your work is here as well. And there was a lot of work to allow me to have that ability to take care of my newborn and work full time and still feel fulfilled outside of work. That obviously has progressed. We had COVID, we moved home, I had another kid, life got even more crazy. And so, you know, when I came back from my second maternity leave, I think the pressure on women in the workforce during COVID kind of, it didn't matter how great of a workforce you were in, you were now being pushed to sit at home. If you had a job, you were working from home, you were still trying to figure out childcare, and you still had your kids around, which was just a factor that didn't exist with my first child. And so, you know, I said, something's got to give. And so we actually, a group of us who had all just recently had kids got together and we said, how do we build women in the workforce at Duke? And how do we make this a better situation for us? So some of the ideas that we've had have manifested. So I'm sure you've seen some of the emails around, you know, the Bright Horizons contract and the agreement changes there. We started a working moms affinity group within Duke to try to have a safe place for working moms who just need to be relatable to other working moms and deal with some of the same challenges. Ironically, our biggest challenge is finding a time to actually meet because... We all work our day jobs and then our second time job starts at 5 o'clock. So we have a little bit of a challenge there, but all that to be said, you know, all of those changes have occurred in the last year or two. I think there's more work to be done. I don't think we're done here. I think women have, you know, we've become independent and we're working and we're outside of the home, but we also, we have this childcare factor. And most of the time, women are the dominant caretakers. And so, you know, we've kind of created these interesting situations for ourselves that we now have to maneuver. And how do we make it better for our next generation?
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you. Valerie, talk to me about your take on Moms at Duke and what it is that you all do.
First off, I strongly support Yasmin and her peer group in this endeavor. I think they're doing a fantastic job of really elevating the escalation of the issue of balancing parenting along with balancing work and just being a professional person who has a life. I'm of a slightly different generation. My kids are raised, but however, I did raise them for a significant amount of time while at Duke, but the time was different. We showed up on site at the time. Everybody showed up on site for the most part. Only a few worked from home. And that had its challenges. But the workforce in general was very accustomed, I think, with what they were willing to accept and not accept in terms of supporting women who were raising children and having a profession. And COVID, despite all of the challenges that it presented to all of us, just humanity in general, a unifying challenge, right? Yasmin and her peer group, Yasmin was smart enough to see, look, things have changed. They're the same. We've got our kids, we've got our work, but now we're working from home. And it's really, Yasmin, you can yay or nay me here because I know we didn't tee up on this, but those of us who work from home tend to work more hours. So here's this poor mom working, you know, even more hours than we did. And she's got her kids at home. Oh, by the way, with her much of the time. And it's challenging. So Yasmin and her cadre have really elevated the visibility of this challenge. And I think created a support group in such a meaningful way. It is such a blessing to be a supporter of her and their intelligent, thoughtful pursuit of just elevating this issue.
It's amazing. That's amazing. So, I mean, it sounds like, Valerie, you've adopted more of like a mentorship role in regard to this group. You know, would you agree with that?
I'm there for anybody in that group who needs me. The act of being a mom and having work is not new. I think Yasmin would agree with that. And it is nice to have a different perspective because perhaps some of the things that those of us who have a few extra years behind us have to offer in terms of insights, maybe it helps them build something even bigger, beefier, and more robust than we ever thought of before.
That's what's up. Go ahead, Matt. Yeah.
I think there's something to really be said about, you know, when Val and her generation had to raise kids, it really was black and white. And it was, you come to work 8 to 5, you go home. And there's pros and cons to that. You know, did they have the flexibility that we have today? You know, like my kids go to a private school, so I have to do all the driving. So, you know, I'm offline from 3 to 3:45 most days, right? They didn't have that flexibility. But at the same time, at 5 o'clock, they were done. There was no, okay, pull your laptop up at midnight and get your extra 50 emails and whatever it is you're doing. And so I think there's a lot to be said about the lessons of how they managed and dealt with that work. And, you know, and oftentimes I'll use Val to check me and be like, am I crazy? Is this like really absurd? Or am I just a really tired person right now and I'm making it out to be way more than it needs to be. But yeah, like I think as things have evolved, you know, one of the things that I see at Duke is that we have some phenomenal leadership and there's area, you know, and I happened to be blessed enough to work under one of those verticals. And so I am not fearful of being like, hey, I have to get my kids today. And I'm, you know, I've been encouraged to actually say that's why I can't attend something or that's what I'm doing. But I know that that's not consistent. And so I think our goal today is how do we make this so that anyone at Duke who has that Duke name on their badge can feel comfortable in the same forums to say those things without getting the type of judgment that some people do get.
And that's crazy to me. I mean, it's like I grew up, and this is telling my age, I grew up in you know, the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. And so, you know, my mom was an English teacher. She started off as an English teacher and she later became a school administrator. But yeah, like, you know, she didn't juggle half the stuff that, you know, you're talking about, Yasmin. I mean, there was email, you know, the pervasive nature of email was not a thing. You know, we got up in the morning, she dropped us off on the way to school and, you know, we rode the bus home. She came home, you know, made dinner and everything. And that was, you know, about it as far, I mean, she left the job at the job and she may have done some like course preparation, you know, at home. But she had enough time to dedicate, you know, to us. And so, you know, that being said, you know, this is a music podcast. So the soundtrack, you know, of our lives really was, you know, riding in the car, you know, with her to work, listening to like Whitney Houston and Luther Vandross on the radio. And so we had to hear, you know, whatever was on the station that we were listening to and, you know, sang along and stuff like that. So I'm curious as to like, you know, what's that like, you know, for you now? Now, Yasmin, what are y'all listening to on the radio as you are being shuttled between all of these different responsibilities?
Well, I can tell you right now, my kids don't even know what a radio is. So my husband and I used to have a Janet Jackson tape. I think you and I are probably the same era. And I had a Janet Jackson cassette tape. My dad happened to find it the other day. And my child was like looking at it and like putting her fingers in the little circle things. And she's like, what is this contraption? And I'm like looking at her and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is probably what our parents felt like when we looked at things like records, right? But you know, for us, it's, I think it's reflective of their generation. Like we have Alexas all over our house and, you know, I'm often hearing my 6-year-old screaming at Alexa, Alexa, I said play, da da da. And but the cool thing is that Alexa is global. And so coming from a multicultural environment, you know, last night my daughter started playing a Bollywood song off of Alexa. And I was like, what is she? And then like, but her and my 2-year-old, because they don't understand the language, made up their own language that sounds like what they're saying. So I was listening and I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. So there's, you know, there's some really cool perks. I think as a parent, it also allows me to control to some extent the type of music they get exposed to. You know, they have like kids bop stations that are, you know, pop culture songs, but they're censored. And then my child will ask for that particular song, but she doesn't know to ask for it censored. And so we get some exposure that we're not ready for. But it, you know, so I do think that it has evolved in the sense that, you know, when we're in the car, my husband has a very eccentric taste in music. And so we'll go from listening to like a 1960s song to a Bollywood song to an Arabic song to like, a you know, just a modern day song. And my kids think that's totally normal. They have no idea that it's all manipulated by dad. Mm. So that's what it looks like at our house.
Chris, tell me a bit about like, you know, your household, you know, and how you all, you know, interact with music.
Yeah. So I actually tried to do some prep for this. I called my mom and I asked the same question. I'm like, what did you used to listen to? And she's like, well, whatever was on the radio. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, we couldn't just stream whatever we wanted. But she did go through stuff yesterday and she found an old cassette tape of Night Ranger. Remember, I told you that was my guilty pleasure. And I was like, it's too bad that old cassette tapes aren't worth money because those are probably worth like 2 cents versus the old LPs. But in our house, very similar to Yasmin, we have, you know, ours is Google. So we have those set up throughout the house and, kids will play what they want. My wife will play what she wants. And it runs the spectrum because we have a Spotify account that we share, obviously, on all the things through the house. So this morning when I was listening, pulled up Spotify, it's my most recently played songs. It's all these songs by the kids and by my wife. And ask my wife, you know, what do you think about Islam? You know, what are songs that you listen to? And I don't know if we get into any sort of politics or not, but she's been listening to a little bit more of empowering songs. Mm. I think it's L. King is America's Sweetheart, which I've heard like 1,000 times in the last couple weeks. I think it's funny when I break his heart. Mm-hmm. My kind of medicine is whiskey straight. I got a mouth to put you in your place. And they said I'll never. The other one she was talking about, I thought was interesting, and I don't know if I sort of pose this out to you. Like a lot of the songs that I listen to when I'm frustrated in the day or angry and they allow me to vent. And she's like, I don't have that option. She goes, I don't always have control of all the things that are going on. So she was thinking more of songs that captures somewhat the helplessness that she feels, or putting her hands in someone else. Like, was it Carrie Underwood's what, Jesus Drive or something like that? There's somewhere she's wrecking that. I just found it interesting. That's probably just a personality thing versus a, you know, a father-mother thing. Mm. I did want to throw in one thing. I was thinking about this when Yasmin and Valerie were talking. The schedules not only that work give us, but also all the activities that our kids are in. Like this past week, so I have like the Brady Bunch family. I have three kids from a previous marriage and then three kids in my current marriage. Three boys, three girls, all ages, you know, not quite the exact setup as the Brady Bunch, but close. And this week, my stepson has a camp up here in Durham for golf. And my stepdaughter has cheer practice all week. And so we're dividing up and conquering. And like cheer practice in the summer is from 3 to 5. So twice I have to leave work early, which is the flexibility that COVID gave me, because I wouldn't be able to drive from Durham all the way down to Chatham County, which is a reference to people outside of here won't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, that's a good 30 to 45 minute drive in each direction, depending on traffic. And I also have the fortune of working for someone who's very flexible. And I share that flexibility with my employees for, you know, what you need to do for your kids. But it'd be nice if we could, if people could show a little more awareness of what our schedules are, because back in the day, like I've been thinking about this podcast, I totally took for granted that my mom was going to take me everywhere I needed to go because she was at home all the time. So I didn't worry about that. But I've, in both my marriages, both of us have, each time I've been full-time employees. In fact, I took a year off of work because my first wife was a physician and couldn't. So I took a year off to help raise my son when he was 18 months to 2.5, which was one of the most rewarding things I've done. So not even claiming to share what moms go through, but that was, it was nice. And being able to share those responsibilities, I think, is key to a successful parenting arrangement. So
shout out to dads.
Yep.
Who
try to help.
Who support the moms.
Who support the moms.
Valerie, so how did you integrate music into your household? Like, you know, Chris was talking about, you know, using it as a form of expression and release in the household. You know, Yasmin has talked about it being used as a form of, you know, congregation and connection. You know, tell me a bit about, you know, your experience in this area.
So mine's a little bit different. So vinyl was what I grew up with. Okay. And my mother is of East German Jewish, like she was an escapee from East Germany. So some of our music was a little different than what you're talking about. We listened to Joan Baez, of course, and those sorts of people, Bruce Springsteen, The River. But, and you'll have to hunt as you look to play this music. There's an old group, Esther and Abi Ofarim, O-F-A-R-I-M. Mm. And she would play those as well. And then there were a lot of classics. While my kids were growing up, some of the Imagination Dragons type of songs, Try by Pink, some of the Florence and the Machine, things that were more motivational. Kind of to Chris's wife's point, you might feel like, oh, Rage Against the Machine, I really want to go run 400 miles. And sorry, pal, you've got 2 5-year-olds with you. And so you need to have, or 10-year-olds or whatever. So having a different kind of coping mechanism was probably a little more what you wanted to demonstrate as a mom. Not saying that when my son decided that he could run longer distance, we'd listen to some Rage and we'd listen to some other things too. But it felt to me like music is kind of, it's one of those things that can be sort of like counseling, but I don't actually have to talk or someone else says the right thing. We even, as the kids were a little older, if you look, there's a band, again, sorry, it's a little bit metal, but Danzig, and it's called Mother, and it's about censorship. As they started pulling books off the shelves in some of the libraries, and that became a news item that we were talking about, as the kids got a little older, we'd listen to that, my son and I in particular, while we'd run. I did want to say one more thing before I haul off and let you ask your next question. Notice how, so Yasmin brings, you know, just a really neat multicultural aspect to things. And I do too. And Chris, you have your, you know, background as well, just with the marriage and the blending of the Brady Bunch. And music is there for all of us, and work is there for all of us. And kids, for those of us who are blessed to get to have them and who elect to have them, they're there too. And these are just some really unifying things. And we all have a lot more in common than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Music is the bridge. Music is the bridge.
So Brandon, hold on. You're going to ask a question, but what about you and in your household?
Well, in my household, I have, you know, my oldest son's, the thing is, as a child of the 80s and 90s, you talk about Rage Against the Machine, and that's what, you know, we listen to a lot in my house. We listen to a lot of Rage Against the Machine, a lot of Tool, a lot of industrial metal, hip-hop, Public Enemy, and whatnot. My boys, you know, took on a lot of, you know, my musical taste. However, my youngest son is more of a chill hop, really relaxed. I don't understand why he fell so far from the tree. I wanted him to be so aggressive, but yeah, no, he's more relaxed in regard to his intake. But yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to, you know, my mom was a real big fan of the Temptations. Like I said, Whitney Houston, there's a lot of gospel. Because she was raised here in North Carolina, you know, in rural North Carolina. So we listened to, you know, a lot of, you know, Shirley Chisholm. You know, I knew a lot of the big time gospel artists. I wasn't a big fan, but I was quite aware of them because not only did we hear them at home, but when we went to church on Sundays, those were the same songs that would be sung, you know, in church. So when I think of my mom a lot, I think of religion, religious music, you know, and then also, the other thing that I think of is a lot of that 80s, 90s R&B, Luther Vandross. And I'll tell you why. It's not just because you listen to it in the car, but on the weekends, sometimes I would have to go to the beauty shop and sit in the beauty shop while she got her hair done. And so I would sit there and listen to all the women talk and gossip and stuff and whatnot with this background of, like I said, Whitney Houston, you know, Patti LaBelle and whatnot playing in the background. So that's me. That's my background.